as you was told, we our minister has gone away to do some work for the Lord, as he's instructing other preachers and young men to be preachers. I had the opportunity to go through those classes, and like Reggie said last week, and Jason and Michael, you know, tell you, it was fun, but it was work. When the road's caught up yonder, a lot of times we look at the roll, we think of a roll call, going to service, roll call for class, and sometimes just a roll call for an event at someone's home, and to make sure that everybody that was invited attend, or who was absent. Like a collection of names of people on a roll. I recall bringing the end, the roll called, being the end of all roll calls. In 1 Thessalonians, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it speaks of, for the Lord himself shall send from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We look at that call. That roll call is the last roll call. There won't be another. No man can come and say, well, postpone that one. Just don't worry about that roll call, because it's not important. But it's so important, because it's the last call that will ever be called. And as we sung the song, when the roll is called up yonder, in the chorus line it says, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. But in the truth, you can't say I'll be there. Because the roll hasn't been called yet. The roll call we're talking about, the judgment, the end of time, and at that time, when you try to make changes and excuses or whatever, it's too late. It's all over. Time stops. It's all over. Let us turn to the Bible, Luke chapter 16, and verse 19, and a few following scriptures. And I'd like to say here, to follow the footsteps of many men that came forth and preached the gospel here, we're always preaching the Bible. In Revelation 22:18, it says, don't add it. Don't add nothing. Don't take nothing away. So my job today is to preach the gospel. And we turn to Luke chapter 16. The Bible talks about a certain man. You know, I was trying to figure out, what did he mean, certain? You know, he just didn't say there was a man. He said there was a certain man. And I came to the realization that say, I better leave it alone. Because the Bible said a certain man. So I left it there on the pages of this Bible. In verse 19 it says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which is laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is come for comfort, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. It's too late. When the trumpet of the Lord sounds, trying to make corrections, changes, getting your house in order, it's too late. It's too late. Because see, even the rich man understood something. All the money he had, all the fame, all the fortune, it's nothing when that trump sounds. Now don't get me wrong, brother. Washington didn't say you couldn't have money. It wouldn't be here if you couldn't have it. It's what you do with it. Then verse 27. And they say, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Rich man said, I done messed up. I done messed up. There ain't no changing. I can't regroup. I can't hit the, you know, in the video, back in the day when I was young, you hit the reverse button and everything goes back. Now you just flip a switch and it changes everything. I ain't old, but I'm getting there. But you just hit a switch and change things. But see, the rich man couldn't change the script. And the way it looks at has Lazarus is in Abraham's bosom and comfort, he don't want the script changed anyway. He'd rather have it just exactly like it is and stay humble as he always were. Richmond said, I got five brothers. I got kinfolk. Let me go help them. Let me go help them. They need help. Verse 29, Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. You don't need to go back. The trumpet sound. You don't need to go back. You can't go back. The book said you're not going back. I'm not going back. You're not going back. Nobody's going back. It's too late for changes. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 26 and 27. What about the man that built his house on the sand? And the floods came. And the winds came. What happened to the house? It didn't stand. Floods washed it away. Couldn't go back. Couldn't change it. The situation at all. It was a done deal. Just like when the trump blows, it's a done deal. You ain't going to be able to go back. You ain't going to be able to change nothing. We got a young brother that's in masonry work now. He can tell you. It was not a solid foundation. We can read about Christ's foundation, the church. It wasn't built on sand. But when he built his house on sand, can he go back and say, well, let's see, this is what I'm going to do since I got it now, that it's in sand, it's flooded, let me go back and start it over. Let's put in concrete, something in stone. Like you always say, well, should I, when he makes a comment, he or she makes his comment, should I put it in? Sometimes you have to put it in pencil so you can use the eraser. Or should I put it in stone? Well, in stone you knew it would stand. The sand in the Bible shows us that it had been washed away. So when the trump of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, there's no time to gather up that sand and regroup. It's a done deal. It's too late. In Acts chapter 5, and verse 3 through verse 9, talks about two individuals. Acts chapter 5, verses 3 through 9. About two individuals. Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and bought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, to keep back apart the price of the land? Why it remains, was it not thy own? And after was so, is not thine own power? These are questions he's asking him. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men rose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said to her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband were at the door, and carried thee out. Then fell she down straight at his feet, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. When he said, wasn't this yours to have? It was yours. It still belonged to you. You sold it. The money was still yours. So this is what I call double teaming. This was a husband and wife. And I pray to God for us all, husbands and wives, don't do this. Don't do this act here. Because when the role is called up yonder, you won't be there. You won't be there. When you go back and he says, you didn't lie to man. You didn't lie to man. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to God. You messed up. I pray to God, don't none of us do this. We sung that song so boldly and so loud and so beautiful. But see, I was taught in various congregations that's coming up. You can sing a lie just as well as you can tell it. Ananias, you didn't lie to me. So you can tell me anything. You know, you can pull me over in the corner, Brother Washington, you know, so and so and so and so and so. And I'll probably believe it. Because you know how lies start. That liar will start with the truth every time. I ain't never heard a liar not tell the truth the first time. And then he changes it. He makes it close to what it was, but he keeps varying off and off. Then it's a total lie. You convinced, because you've been listening to that story, he didn't change a few words, and you know, that's old Brother Joe. He's told that story for time and time again. But in this case, when Ananias and his wife told the Lord, told the Holy Spirit that they did it for so much, they sold it for so much, and I was just a liar. And the liars have their place. They can't finish this song When the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. They even change it. They change the course. I won't be there. So brothers and sisters, I plead, I beg you, don't find yourself in that situation under no circumstances. Because when there's time no more, you can't spend money. When time no more, you can't say, I'm sorry. None of that you can say. None of that you can do. None of it. Let's go back. In Genesis chapter 3. Verses 2 through 7. God told in the book of creation, in the book of the beginning, he told Adam, he told Eve, I want you to keep the garden. What a wonderful job he had. Wasn't much to do. See, at that present time, there wasn't no cockleburrs and stickers and all the stuff that makes the gardeners work hard. Well, none of that yet. Because sin or disobedience never came on the scene yet. But the thing about it, it was a warning about disobedience. In chapter 3, in verse 2, and there was something called the serpent. See that devil? Look at that. He's here at the start. He's here too. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it. Ye shall not eat of it. Neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Just like life today, there's always somebody thinking they know more than the reality of the truth. No more than the truth. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day when you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Like I always say, what that little G mean? It don't mean nothing like the big G. The big God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband. And the eyes of both of them, not one of them, both of them, was open. And they knew that they were naked. Trumpet of the Lord sound. can't make a change. Adam and Eve couldn't make no changes back then. It's too late. Now for us, that was back in the beginning, as we know of. And what I'm trying to illustrate is the wrong, the disobedience at the start, the breaking of the law, the breaking of God's commandment. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. Why not eat it, Brother Washington? Because God said not. And what God said to do, do. Because just late, right at the end of the Bible study this morning, our study brought a very important topic about fear. Don't be scared of man. See, but when God says don't do something, don't do it. He said, don't fear man. Man only can kill you. He can kill me physically. But see, God can take that bone marrow and he can separate it. The bone, the marrow from the bone. He can separate that when I came. He can give you heaven and I can't. So when he says don't do it. Well, Brother Washington, it's just, I just want to do a little bit. Little things. Little things can hurt you. It can hurt you real bad. In the song, when the roe is called up yonder, in verse 2, it talked about be patient with me. On that bright and glorious morning, when the dead in Christ arise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the robe is called up yonder. In John chapter 5, verse 29, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Both the good and the bad are going to be there. He can cut. I love God because he's not prejudiced. Love him. I love him more than anything on this earth. Love him. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That's that resurrection. That's that love. In verse 4 of that song, let us labor for the master from the dawn till setting sun. Let's talk of all. He's doing just love and care. Then when all life is over and the work on earth is done and the row is caught up yonder, can I say, when the road is caught up yonder, can I say I'll be there? Labor. Work. Oh man, that's a bad word. When I was a little kid, I was just at the age where basketball at the park was about the best thing to play in the summer. Because we had a drugstore right catter corner from the store, and those cherry Cokes and vanilla Cokes and that dipped ice cream. Because back then they didn't have that soft ice cream that shoots out of the machine. You got that real dip, man. And you ask that guy, go all the way to the bottom. You know, think of that, my name, get my name way down there and get that big scoop. When I labored, when I worked. Work was a bad name. Because little, and I just enjoyed life. As a little kid, you just, when your loved ones, your parents give you so much, they want you to have more than they had. At an easier, convenient way. But they labored. They worked. But I want to tell you about this work and this labor for the Lord. In Genesis chapter 2, in verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. It's even God, he worked. He labored. We can't do it the way he did it because he said, and let there be light. When God worked, he was in creation, creating the world, creating me and you. Did you know that he made us? He knows everything about us. But he worked, just like we need to work. And in verse 3, and on the seventh day he ended his work which he had made, and he rested. And on the seventh day of all his work which he made. In Genesis chapter 5 and verse 29, we find the account of Noah saying this. Some comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Why did he curse it? Because Adam and Eve, they started it. As we recall back in Genesis, what we just talked about. God cursed the earth, cursed the ground. Now we have to work hard. We're gonna have to go to work. But in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. spiritual works. God talks about work. Spiritual. When's the last time you worked and edified a brother or sister? Do we not know that edification? To help edify the church, build the church up is work. It's good work. When's the last time you did? When was it done? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more. You can't change it. You can't change a thing. You got to do it now. While you, this precious breath that God has given you that breathes through your nostrils. Now is the time. Now is the time. In John 5:17, Jesus answered them, "My Father's work hitherto, excuse me, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work." See, they both work. God the Father in creation, and Christ fulfilling His Father's will. They work together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Going to have to give account. Going to have to give an answer. Philippians 1:16. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Keep working. Keep performing. Do God's will. To the day that Jesus comes. For this day. So that you can say, when the roll is called up yonder, you can say, "I'll be there." Without any hesitation. Don't have to be like the rich man. I need to go back and straighten things up. Straighten them up now. We're about to sing a song of the invitation. 6:33. Get your song books ready to sing this song. And it starts out, "A careless soul, why will you linger?" Don't linger. And as we sing the song, understand the song. Don't just start singing because that's what everybody does. We just sing. Understand what you're singing. Because it has a message. It's one of the greatest invitation songs that I've heard. There's so many. And as we stand to sing the song, number 633, "Prepare to Meet Thy God."